Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for listening to AFR. You can watch the show here live if you want to at our Today's Issues Facebook page. We live video stream the program. Join us tomorrow if you want to learn a lot, have some fun. We have Trivia Friday on, well, Fridays. And so we'll be doing that tomorrow on this show. You'll be here for that?
I will. You know, if it doesn't snow.
You'd had to have been here the last hour to appreciate that, right? And J.J. Jasper, I guess J.J.'s going to be here.
He is.
Tomorrow.
The three of us will be in.
All right. So we'd encourage you to join us for that. Steve Jordahl has taken the place of Fred Jackson for this half hour. Steve's a newsman, a career newsman. You're a career newsman, right?
It is my career. I've been doing it for a while.
What was your first job?
I actually was a pastor, a music pastor for 10 years, kind of in the middle of the radio thing. I started radio in college and then did a little bit of it.
So you were a choir leader?
Did choirs and other types of worship, yeah.
You play an instrument?
I do. Play a little guitar, bass.
Okay.
You play just a little guitar?
It's a very small guitar. Yeah.
It's like a ukulele.
Yeah, that's right.
He plays a ukulele.
Yeah. He's a Hawaiian worship singer.
All right. Well, multi-talented Steve is.
He's got a very good voice. He really does. Singing voice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, Steve, what's in the news?
Well, I got some breaking news. First of all, I just let you to let you know, and this should make you feel better, Ed. CNN reporting 2017 was one of the warmest years on record.
Really?
So global warming going full bore.
Why would that make me feel better?
Well, you know, what we talked about last hour.
You had a hard time getting to work yesterday and everything.
You know, the whole hate on you thing.
Yeah,
you were talking about.
So just know that in the middle of deep freeze, we're still talking about global warming.
The CNN says it's 2017 was what now?
The second hottest year on record since.
Last winter was kind of mild, if I remember right. Because I remember people telling me, them bugs, they ain't going to die. Yeah.
Well, they're making up for it this year.
Now, that wasn't good English.
Which is an urban legend anyway. I don't think
that
cold weather makes much of an impact.
Calling my wife a liar?
No, I'm just saying I looked it up last winter when everyone was saying the bugs.
Yeah.
And they said it doesn't really have much of an impact on bugs.
All right. Well, I just remember Allison and I were sitting there on our porch enjoying a nice February day and going, man, this is nice. It's 55 out here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the problem is the bugs aren't going to die.
Right.
Because it's still warm. But you're telling me that's an urban.
Yes. That's why I read that last year.
Myth. Okay. So it doesn't matter what the temperature is, and mosquitoes will return. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, and I'm going to look it back up, but I'm pretty sure.
All right. So, but anyway, I enjoyed last winter. I like my winters.
This one not so much, though.
Yeah, no.
I got some actual breaking news that we probably should get to. They're having a hard time this morning in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Police officer has been killed. A marshal has been killed. And at least two other officers wounded this morning in Harrisburg when gunfire erupted during the service of a warrant. They went to a house to serve a warrant, and they were shot. The U.S. Marshal was killed, and the mayor said three officers were shot, including a Harrisburg cop, but they're not sure. It's breaking kind of still whether the marshal was part of the three or if it's a fourth.
Well, in South Carolina last night, I was reading, I think it was last night or yesterday.
I have that too.
Go ahead.
No, we talked about it the other day, yesterday, I think, South Carolina. They lost four officers were shot. One was critically hurt when they were serving a domestic violence call.
Right, and the attacker was the man of the house. And he was hidden in the woods, as I understand it, behind the house and picked off. I guess he was an ambush. I mean, he was waiting for them to come, picked off. The one died. I don't know if others have died. He also shot at the helicopter. that was above the home.
It's a tough time to be a police officer.
Yeah, I know.
Right,
I mean,
now.
You should never know. You wake up, go to work, and or you have to work overnight, and you don't know. You know, the next call is going to be.
I know it.
You know, where your life's at risk, you know, so anyway.
Brave men and women. Absolutely. Brave men and women. So we're praying for the people in Harrisburg and South Carolina.
I will have to explain my statement regarding bugs in cold weather.
Oh,
go
ahead.
I have to do some recanting, because I'm looking at the Farmer's Almanac, and they say some species are susceptible, but the cold has to be certain. It has to be a certain amount of cold. In other words, it depends
really
on how
cold,
for which species, and for how long it stays cold. So apparently cold weather can kill some bugs, but it depends how cold it gets, how sustained, the length of the cold weather. So your wife is partially correct, depending on what bugs you're talking
what
about.
What do you drive, Ed?
A Volkswagen.
Okay. So one bug that it does kill is a Volkswagen, because Ed couldn't get to work yesterday.
Oh man. Folks, I hope you're listening to the kind of abuse I take.
Oh man, that was I didn't just so you'll know I did. Steve and I did not collude on that.
No collusion.
And we didn't talk to the.
And folks, listen, if you're listening, I don't care what these people think
about
me. It doesn't bother me.
He quit caring a long time ago.
A long time ago. I'm going to eat some pasta for lunch.
And watch the Boston Bruins play hockey. And
yes,
Ed's
that's
okay.
Right.
He's
that's
okay.
Right. I'm good. I'm good.
No.
Don't cry for me, Argentina.
It's just like snow off your shoulders. You know, it doesn't bother
just
me.
Just like it's dandruff.
Well, well played.
It's not snow. It's dandruff. Some more breaking news. This happened this morning. Sorry, I'm having microphone drift here.
Yeah, sir, you're right.
Acting this morning, Acting Health and Human Services Secretary Eric Hargan announced the creation of a new Conscience and Religious Freedom Division that will help protect doctors, nurses, and other healthcare workers who decline to participate in care that goes against their moral or religious convictions. So another pro-religious liberty move by this time HHS and the Trump administration.
This is the battle going forward, isn't it? For Christians, I think that this is, in America, something that I'll just say I never thought we would see in this country. I think this fight over religious liberty over the next 5 to 10 years will be huge.
Yep.
So
I agree.
Good to see what President Trump is doing.
Yeah, so that's some breaking news for you this morning, and some good news, some not so good news. Ed, I know that how much you enjoy this, so I've brought in a little stronger men's chorus today as we visit the Russia Files.
Russian National
Some little
choir
glitch there.
Singing the Russian, that's the Russian National Anthem, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. It
was longer.
Yes. Got to work on it, because there's a little glitch in the middle there.
The glitch was where I put the beginning and the ending together for you.
Oh. It's good. Good stuff. What do you have for the Russia Files today?
Well, you know how Democrats are always bagging on the president and calling him nuts.
I don't see it.
Yeah,
I don't see that.
Where are you getting that from, Steve?
Democratic.
You must be watching different news than we are.
Hostility and animosity toward the president.
I know it's odd, but not only Democrats, some Republicans. I want you to listen to what lame duck Senator Jeff Flake from Arizona had to say yesterday on the House floor.
It is a testament to the condition of our democracy that our own president uses words infamously spoken by Joseph Stalin to describe his enemies. When a figure in power reflexively calls any press that doesn't suit him fake news, it is that person who should be the figure of suspicion, not the press.
Senate floor, right?
Senate floor. I'm sorry, yeah.
Yeah. That was Senator Jeff Flake.
Senator Jeff Flake, and
Must have been a huge audience where he was speaking before the entire Senate.
There were two people
in
the House.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was during they have a time when they can do floor speeches and talk about whatever they want. They're not largely attended, and no one was at this one. But nonetheless, he did compare our sitting president to Joseph Stalin, who was responsible for the murder of 20 million people.
I think it's more than 200 that.
200 million?
Yeah. Well,
there's
a two in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Well,
a lot.
I don't agree with that analogy that he used. I don't think that's people are quick to throw around names like Hitler and Stalin about things that they disagree with.
Right.
I think he was Jeff Flake. He's retiring.
Yeah.
He's been into it with President Trump several times on different issues, and so he just doesn't like. He just personally does not like President Trump, and he was.
In his analysis,
yeah.
If you call out the news media for erroneous reporting.
Right.
So making statements and doing reports that turn out to be factually incorrect, then you are like Joseph Stalin.
Yeah.
So that's idiotic.
Idiotic, way over the top. But I just think, you know how you see sometimes, and you know, maybe we've all been in situations where we realize that we're taking things too personally.
Yeah.
You know? I think Jeff Flake has not realized that yet.
Right.
I think he needs to. Now, President Trump, you know, he can take things personally too. I agree.
Yes.
And he does fight back against you. That's just his personality. But this Jeff Flake, he just needs to retire and go home.
Do something else.
Yeah, because President Trump has been maligned unfairly with fake news, as he gave examples of.
Right.
With his award-winning major news stories that have just outright been made up out of whole cloth against the president and his administration. And here you have a Republican senator joining the crowd saying that the president should not say anything about that.
Yeah, I mean, so what is he saying? That we should just trust the media? We
I know.
Should trust the media and never call them out when they obviously produce news that is factually incorrect? That's a ludicrous statement.
I know how much you guys love the irony, you know, like the Facebook and us old people put the in front of nouns.
Oh, the irony. Yeah.
But how's this for irony? Yes, it's probably wrong to compare President Trump with Stalin, but it is probably not wrong to compare the news outlets we have with the news outlets that were in place when President Stalin was, or Premier Stalin was head of Russia, the Soviet Union. Pravda, which ironically means truth in Russian, which is anything but, which is their political mouthpiece, which sold all their false propaganda. It was founded in 1912. So it was in force. Pravda was in force. It was and is still in force. So maybe we should be comparing our news. If they're going to compare Trump to Pravda or to Stalin, maybe we should compare CNN to Pravda or New York Times as the official
mouthpiece of the Communist Party. Eventually became
the Democrat Party, because remember we really couldn't figure out a difference between socialism and Democrat platform during the campaign.
Right.
So,
well, I do appreciate the irony.
Do you? Good.
Yes.
Hey, are you guys watching at all what's been happening with the elections, these off-term special elections and House races in the country?
Not really.
It has not been going well for Republicans.
Right.
And just Tuesday, another House seat in Wisconsin. An assembly seat in Wisconsin went to a Democrat in a district that President Trump won handily. And so there's a lot of talk about what's going to happen in 2018. We've seen it was only because of the luck of a draw that they had a drawing because the vote was tied and the chamber stays in Republican hands because they drew lots to determine who was going to control the chamber. So I'm just saying that there's a little bit of nervousness going around right now about whether the Republicans can hold the House or Senate in 2018.
Well, and historically, this is typical. So historically, when you have a president of one party in the White House, off-year elections, midterm elections, usually swing. They're usually bad news for the political party of the president.
Right.
So it is typical. So the question is for Republicans, and maybe this goes to your point about nervousness, is how many seats will we lose during the midterm election? Because it is normal for the other party to pick up seats in the midterm off-year elections.
And I'm just a little bit bewildered by polls and politics as of late. As of 2016, nothing makes sense anymore. So I don't know if the usual losing of seats is necessarily going to happen, but it hasn't looked good yet. And the other difference between now and other times when a party in power has lost seats is the party that is gaining the seats has not always been rabid for impeachment of the president.
Well, that's true.
For no good reason. And so there's a little bit more at stake now than perhaps when Barack Obama lost some seats and Republicans took over his Congress back in the day.
Well, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if the historical trend continues, as Ed talked about here, in November. I don't know. That's a long time from now.
Right.
A lot can happen. The president's approval rating is about the same as President Obama's was at this time. I think President Bush's was lower than all of them.
He was
post 9/11.
Well, that's true. I just remember President Bush, after the 2008 situation. Remember that? His numbers collapsed. But that was because of the economic problems. But I'm just saying that a lot can happen between now and November. And
especially with good economic news, if it continues.
Yeah, that might offset the trend. You know, that might help the president from – and the Republicans do have a better chance in the Senate of picking up seats than losing just because of the sheer number of Democrat incumbents that are at risk. So you might see the House getting closer. I think the Republicans have a 40-plus margin there. But the Senate, where it's 51-49, I think it is right now, you know, that could expand to, say, 55 for the Republicans. But
Let me ask you this. Do you remember last year, the beginning of 2017, whenever Republicans would go home to do their town halls, Democrats from Democrat Central, wherever they were sent from, would crowd the halls and shout down the speakers? Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Will it ever get to the point you think that conservatives do this to Democrats because they're tired of the lies that default the fake media that's coming out? They're tired of them trying to tear down the president and his
agenda.
Well,
that does. You know, you're talking about that does happen. Potentially that could happen from time to time because people are people and they behave misbehave sometimes. I would say this. This is a general statement. All right. The secular progressive left in this country, they view conservatives, especially Christians, but conservatives in general, as illegitimate human beings. Our ideas, our thought processes are not acceptable to be even considered for a conversation. Okay.
Basket full of deplorables.
Yes. So their attitude is, I don't even want to hear you speak. That's why they try to shut down conservatives from coming to college campuses.
Sure.
Right.
It's not the traditional liberal way that Americans who own the left used to have back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and that is they were for free speech for everybody.
Right.
Okay. Even though they held left-wing views, they didn't try to shut down right-wing views from being heard. But today they do. And so these people also, by and large, don't believe in God. If you don't believe in God, the chances are raised that you're not going to have any manners. All right? Because when it comes to dealing with people like us in particular, because they view us as Nazis.
Right.
So why do I want to have manners when I'm talking to Nazis? All right.
This is the Antifa view.
Yes.
It's okay to punch a Nazi.
Yes.
And we'll decide who a Nazi is.
Yes. That's why you see, and it's accepted on the left to treat people on the right like that by the mainstream media. if people on the right treated people on the left like this, it would be shown all over the news, you know, and condemned royally. I'll give you a prime example of this that just happened yesterday or the day before in the United States Senate. We all saw what Cory Booker,
yep,
the Democrat from New Jersey, how the Homeland Security Secretary, her name escapes me.
Her name is Kirstjen Nielsen.
Yeah. She was berated and treated incredibly rude in a rude manner and by a senator who just shouted at her, didn't even give her a chance to talk, and over President Trump's supposed blank hole statement about countries, third world countries that people are trying to get here from. He acted all, you know, I think he was acting. This wasn't pointed out first by me, somebody else pointed this out. If a Republican man had done this to a Democrat secretary who was a woman, mm-hmm, that would have been all over the media as a man, you know, as a sexism.
Condemned for misogyny and
rudeness. This is how Republicans treat women. That kind of thing.
War on women.
The double standard. That's a kind of example of the double standard I'm talking about. And again, I'll point out during Charlottesville, that situation. You know, there were pictures of Antifa people with blowtorches, right?
Right.
And when President Trump just mentioned that there were bad people on both sides, he was excoriated.
He said there were good people on both sides, meaning that there were some who were not white supremacists who were there.
Right, and that was a fact.
Yeah.
But what he was interpreted as by the media was, you're saying Nazis are good.
Right,
right.
Or KKK people are good, that they can be good. No, that isn't what he said. He was talking about the fighting that went on, and all the people there weren't there to fight necessarily.
And let me just throw in too, Democrats who question the religious beliefs of people who have been nominated for cabinet posts,
mm-hmm,
for the Trump administration,
mm-hmm,
basically being excoriated because they're religious.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Bernie Sanders did this. Dianne Feinstein did this. And basically what they were saying to these people, one was a Catholic, one was an evangelical, I think, who were before the Senate, and they were excoriated for their traditional religious beliefs.
Let me give my observations as a reporter.
Okay.
And they're alarming to me as a Republican, but these are just observations, not value judgments. I'll leave those to you. The attitudes that you say, that you guys describe as being attributed to Antifa and the college left and the radicals, is becoming more and more part of the Democrat base,
yes,
the normal base of Democrats. And it is not too soon for, if Republicans want to defend their House, their seats in the House and the Senate, it is not too soon for Republicans to start thinking about co-opting some of the more successful Democrat tactics. And that may be going and shouting down a Democrat speaker just to get some screen time, because it will embolden others to do the same and show people that they're not the minority and the wacko people that they're being portrayed as. It's not too early to engage for 2018.
But conservatives,
it may be too late.
Christians and most conservatives are raised to have respect for others and also to have, you know, for decorum and for manners.
And constitutional principles.
And the Bible teaches, you know, love your enemy.
Yeah.
So that's the basis you have to operate under. But the secular progressive left in this country doesn't believe in the words of Christ, love your enemy. They believe in hate your enemy and destroy your enemy. And we are their enemy. So we're basically, they've got both hands out. They got both dukes up, and we've got one hand tied behind our back because we have a different standard we have to live by. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ed.
You bet.
We'll see you next time, folks. Have a great day.